better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
I'm Brady. Is going to wear number 12 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was originally worn by Godwin, and Godwin was kind enough. He's the Tampa Bay wide receiver to Chris Godwin to give Tom Brady his number.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to do is piss off the quarterback that may or may not throw you the ball.
I'm curious with so many. I know Mike Evans is excited. Cameron Brate, OJ Howard. I don't think Jaquizz Rodgers is still there. I can't remember the running backs they have. But how excited would you be to play with Tom Brady? Because it's not just it's not just offensive players that have spoke volumes to how much preparation and time this guy puts in to even practice. But you think about like Ty Law, Brandon Spikes, Mike Vrabel, now the coach of the Tennessee Titans. There have been so many glowing reviews of the time and preparation that Tom Brady puts into his everyday craft that makes not only, obviously, the New England Patriots over the years get better, but I would think that would translate to now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team.
So, if you put it in terms like, I mean, because all these players look up to other players in their league. They may be stars, but Tom Brady's a superstar.
Superstar, correct.
Six-time Super Bowl champion. So that would be the equivalent of, okay, we're doing this radio show, and then Colin Cowherd is going to come in and do the show with us, and he's going to join our team. You know,
I'd be out
something,
of a job.
We're all going to work together, right? I mean, how exciting would that be for? I mean, I'm trying to put it in relative terms to something like us.
I'd get Jameis'd.
No, I mean, you know, you just become a wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. We need a new quarterback. So, I mean, it would be that because all of these players look up to a select few other players. Tom Brady's one of those select few. He may be on the sunset side of his career, but who wouldn't be on that Tampa Bay roster excited about having him as a teammate?
I would think the only one would
even
be,
if he's past his prime.
Yeah. Would the only one be Jameis Winston? Is that the only Tampa Bay Buccaneer that would be unexcited to have
unless he really up. It depends on his attitude. If he really believes this could get me a ring, because that's the validation for your career, whether you're on the field or not, you always get to walk around with that Super Bowl ring. Whether you played in the actual Super Bowl, you still got that Super Bowl ring. You're still part of the team. I mean, I all these guys want to be Super Bowl champions, be a part of that. Tom Brady gives you that swagger and that, he immediately is that rising tide that lifts all boats. He is the guy that gives everybody on that roster more confidence to believe they can do it.
You know what that leads
to? There's a big difference in that, in thinking and believing.
You know what that leads to as well, Tommy?
Show me the money! Uh-huh.
More money, yeah. Bonuses, and now everything that goes along with playoff wins and,
that's exactly
and getting
right.
to a Super Bowl and the ads and the stuff that you could potentially get out of if you want. Not to say that they're going to win this year, because we talked about this. No host team, Tampa hosting it this year, has ever won the Super Bowl.
That'd be the most Brady thing ever, though, wouldn't it?
It would be pretty spectacular.
If he doesn't do it in the next 2 years,
I think he signed a 2-year contract.
It won't get done, right?
So he's either 42 or 43 right now,
he's
right?
He's 43.
He's 43. And he said he's going to play until he's 45. So I would think that that's probably correct. He's probably not going to do it. If he doesn't do it in the next 2 years, I would doubt that his final year he would be able to get one. But who knows?
But if he could just get Tampa to the playoffs and maybe to the NFC title game some point, that's still pretty dadgum good.
I know people are really excited that he gets to face off against Drew Brees twice this year. Mm-hmm. There's other matchups.
NFC South.
Yeah.
Who else is in there?
So it's New Orleans, Tampa, Carolina, and the Falcons,
Atlanta,
right?
Yep.
So those four. So Tom Murphy,
Ryan.
Very curious to see how he reacts to. I don't know if we've necessarily talked to him about being in the division. That might be a question we ask him coming up. And we're going to get into this more coming up on the Morning Rush. The NFL playoff format has changed. Mm-hmm. Adam Schefter will go over kind of the stuff that he's listed out. But it's very interesting how that plays out, not only this season, but for seasons to come as well.
Some people were criticizing the NFL for going about making decisions of this nature, planning as though the season were going to be played amidst the information we have in today's world. But if you're the NFL, what else are you left to do? You can't plan that. You can't have the no plan plan don't work.
No answers.
Yeah, the no plan plan don't work.
Yeah, I know that Adam Schefter was pretty ticked off yesterday or 2 days ago when he was talking about it, because it seems like that the NFL is going about it like nothing's going on, even though they have made changes to how the draft's going to be played and the OTAs probably aren't going to happen and stuff. But some people are just a little frustrated the NFL is acting like there's nothing outside. There's not an outside presence that's affecting how they're going to game plan the rest of the way.
You can't overreact to the information you're hearing today, because what you're hearing today is part of, as you listen to these experts, the numbers and the deaths and the cases and the testing and all the data we're trying to figure out as we listen to our newsmakers and policymakers deliver to us are results of things that we've done weeks ago. So the things we're doing now are going to produce a dividend in a month from now. And to me, where we're at mid-May is critical for the sports seasons. And I'll tell you why. We talked about this yesterday. The NFL has to make a decision on when to open training camp. Training camps generally open when? Mid-late July, right? You know, they can skip OTAs, that's one thing. When you open training camp is a function of when you're going to be able to start preseason games. Well, maybe this year we reduce those preseason games that don't mean a thing down to one or two. Or we only, you know, but when can you practice? You know, forget all of these trying to figure out when is it clear and safe for players to go out and have physical contact in less than 6 feet from another player?
I don't know the answer.
And that I'm still of the belief if the NFL don't play, nobody playing.
I would probably agree with you on that.
And it all comes back to by mid-May, by mid-June, you better be able to decide it's safe for players to practice. Because until they're safe to practice, and they always have
scrimmages.
They have scrimmages where NFL teams, I'm not describing it in the right term here, where two teams meet up at a camp and scrimmage. They could do away with preseason games. It wouldn't be good for the owners and the revenue. The players don't get a check on those games. If those had to be done because you had to force the calendar back, you could do that.
Get away with it, yeah.
Get away with it. You could crunch out some bye weeks. There's a little bit of leeway here. But keep your eye, the ball to keep your eye on in all of these fall sports is the NFL. What they decide, others will follow. There won't be a maverick or a renegade, I don't believe, to any of that.
I think that's a fair point. Other quick-hitting headlines for you. Devontae Davis has been named the Arkansas Democrat Gazette's Boys Basketball Player of the Year. This is the sole Razorback that has signed. Now, Jalen Williams, K.K. Robinson, and Moses Moody have committed, but they have yet to sign. That should be upcoming. Well, I guess, what's the deal with that? Because they just pushed back the recruiting deadline to the dead period to May, 30th?
It's a good question for Richard coming up, but I don't think that has anything to do with the signing period, necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know.
Late signing period.
I don't know how they're going to do that, but yeah, Devontae averaged like 21 points, 7 assists and a couple rebounds as well. 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. This is a guy that could get after it on both ends of the floor. We talked about high school games. I know one of the beefs that one of our listeners texted in yesterday was high school games being canceled. I know a lot of people revved up, Tommy, for the Moore, Devontae Davis, Jacksonville, West Memphis State Championship that we never got to see.
Got to see Devontae Davis play several times. I saw Chris Moore play a few times. Got to see those guys at the 5A state tournament in Russellville, what I guess has now been a month ago. And Davis is an exciting player. Can get it to the rim, can do a lot of things. Now, I always am hesitant to make college predictions based on what they do in high school just because of the level of the other guys you're going to go against. And that's why that West Memphis Jacksonville final was going to be so exciting, because you had two SEC players going against each other in that game with Chris Moore and Devontae Davis.
And unfortunately, we never got to see it.
And I don't think you ever will. I just don't see any way you're going to be able to ramp up practices and get players, you know, I don't know when A, you'd get the green flag to do it, and B, even if you played them with no fans in the stand, I just don't see it happening. So unfortunately, I think high school athletics will not be completed or resumed for this school year.
He's going to be competing with J.D. Notte and K.K. Robinson, another incoming freshman, for Jalen Harris's spot at the point guard position. Now, John Rothstein put this out, that Jalen Harris is down to Georgetown, Seton Hall, Missouri, Temple, and Louisiana Lafayette per source. So that's not a bad list for Jalen in his next potential landing spot.
Nope. And again, you're as good as your next job, so you're as good as your next school. But again, when you're a graduate transfer and you know that... Yeah, how much is he looking at it just for playing time? There's also the academics to consider. You're wanting to get your graduate degree or maybe finish up on some of that stuff. I still think, is there a better likelihood because he's from North Carolina, he ends up somewhere in that part of the country? Who knows? Who knows what his criteria are for making a decision? Remember, he started out at, New Mexico, so before he arrived in Fayetteville.
I think Miles Powell for Seton Hall is gone. Georgetown just locked Mac McClung and Omar Yurtseven, so I'm assuming Patrick Ewing would probably want to be able to get a grad transfer too. Don't know really the story of Temple or Louisiana Lafayette, but I would think that one of those schools, Georgetown or Seton Hall, kind of being in that northeast pocket like you were talking about, would not be a bad landing spot for Jalen Harris. We mentioned this earlier this week, the prospect of Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson going round two. Well, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are joining them, as we mentioned, is the rumor.
Huh.
And this is
was a trial balloon then we were seeing.
Yeah, and so this has been confirmed to CNBC. Apparently, Charles Barkley is going to be part of this as well, which I'm really excited about. And you mentioned the aspect of potentially playing a state championship here in Arkansas with no fans. This would be at an undisclosed location without fans, according to this report I saw. So I'm assuming the cameramen obviously would be there. I don't know how they would do it. Pay-per-view, they put it on just regular cable, how they're going to go about doing this. But this idea, I think, is an interesting one, especially in such a dead period without sports right now. People will get attracted to anything. But the question you asked earlier this week, can Tom Brady golf? The only time I've ever seen him golf is in that one little cameo in Entourage. That's it. I've never heard of him being a golfing guy. Now, I think I've heard of Peyton Manning golfing once or twice. We know Phil Mickelson and Tiger being professionals. That's not a big
deal. That's not why those two guys were invited. It's because they can hit the golf ball.
They want to draw. But you also, kind of like you're saying, if you're going to invite celebrities, you don't want them to shoot 101. You want this to be at least somewhat competitive and somewhat fun to watch, where they're at least competitive enough on the golf course to make things interesting.
And that's why I suggested yesterday, you get a guy like Tony Romo.
And Steph Curry.
I mean, both guys are scratch golfers by our terms. Now, that they're not professional golfers because they're, perhaps they could be as good if they've just dedicated their time to golf, but a little late in life for that. I'm just saying, Steph Curry and Tony Romo, they're not Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Would you agree? They're not quite to that level, but ain't that far a drop off. I mean, Steph Curry's pretty close to that shelf.
Top five NBA player.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe top three.
And Tony Romo is really... I would say Tony Romo, Tommy, has probably picked up more celeb status based on his calls for CBS in 1 year.
I wouldn't disagree. I'm just saying their golf may overcome their lack of celebrity compared to those other two. But I'm a golf guy, so I'm tuning in for the golf. Guys that aren't... I don't know how much of a golf guy you are. I don't know that you sit down and watch a lot of PGA events when they're on. Other than maybe the majors. There's a headline about a major we'll get to as well. They're trying to design this in a way that my wife will watch, that people that don't have any interest in golf will watch. They got to draw a bigger crowd.
So you're saying, all right, let's think about this. So you have the...
They want household names.
The celebrity, like Tommy's talking about. You have the celebrity aspect, the football aspect of Brady and Manning. You got the... your wife, the good-looking aspect of Tom Brady.
Because it's not so much the looks of Tom Brady as they need to draw the biggest crowd under the tent. So we got to get all the NFL fans in here that don't care a thing. They don't know whether, which end of the golf club to hold. They don't care about that. They're not big Tiger or Phil fans. They're big Tom Brady, Peyton Manning fans.
Brandon from Paris texts in, look, I don't particularly like Tom Brady, but I'm sure the dude can golf. He can probably cook an award-winning meal, perform open-heart surgery. He might even be able to cure the coronavirus. Yeah. I don't put anything past him anymore.
That's why we hate him.
Because he's so talented and so good. That's like, okay, that example is perfect. Remember when Bradley Cooper just decided, oh, I'm going to learn how to sing. Good-looking, great actor, and then all of a sudden, he just screws every male in this world by deciding, I'm going to add something else to my already talented, superior being. and that's the ability to sing. And you're just you're looking at him on stage, and I didn't watch the I don't know if it's the Golden Globes or hitting Lady Gaga got on stage. I watched that one clip. I was just so aggravated looking. It's like, look, dude, you have it all. Don't add any elements to your game. Leave some for the rest of us.
It kind of reminds me of the time we talked about this with Tyler one time when DJ Williams was playing at Arkansas. Great, one of the great tight ends you've had here. Now he's in the media in Little Rock. Works at one of the TV stations there. Great football player, physically gifted, all that. Then he'd sit down at the piano and start playing and singing. Like, really, dude?
Yeah. No, it's
what else?
Yeah. No, so you mentioned that. One of my best friends in college, he 6'5", good basketball player, good looking dude, and he can play the piano too.
Yeah.
And I was like,
won't you play? You can't play the guitar too?
Yeah. It's like, sometimes I get girls by just playing the piano in my room. And I was like,
exactly.
I hate you. I hate you so much. So let's go to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Michael is in Little Rock. Michael, you're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, Ty and Tommy, what's up?
Hey, good morning.
I agree. We should have, yeah, good morning to you two guys. I agree. We should have this, like, celebrity golf tournament and everything. Tony Romo, yeah, he can, we all know, he can golf. You know, I'm not so sure about Tom Brady and people like that or Charles Barkley. I mean, that's like Shaq shooting a free throw. But that would be so amazing, though. If it happened, I don't know. I know you guys are trying to figure out things to do during this time period just because there's nothing else to do. Tommy said that a couple of weeks ago, I think. But, yeah, I just wanted to chime in with that. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Yeah, so, yeah. Tommy, he mentions the competition aspect. I think there's golf courses open right now. Now,
not all of them.
This would not be a competitive type of thing, but we could get Andy to come down and film us playing golf 18 holes. Now, I would get my tail kicked, and I would walk it. And there's certain competitions that I feel confident about going against Tommy against. Golf is not one of them.
Let's start with fishing. I don't mind golfing, but I'd rather fish.
Okay, so what would
we'll go to Gaston's. Clint has given us an open invite. We just got to find a spot in the calendar. So, like, middle week of this month, I'll work it out with Clint. We'll go up there sometime that week because, like you said, we have time. And, we'll do something up there.
I'm down for that. So we have
Let's start there. I'm not saying we can't do something golf-related. I'd just rather fish.
So the competitions that Phil and I competed in were cornhole, was the picking competition, which you and I ended up tying with the fence man, with the sports discontinuing for a certain time.
Bagos, you want to do a bago something?
I don't think you want to do a bag.
I probably don't. I'm not great at it. I could probably bring somebody. If we did partners, I've got a guy that I think I could help boast me up.
Who would that be?
Scott Durham.
So I'll take Brent then. Because Brent, I'm assuming he's got some type of...
All right, there you go.
So the youngins versus the...
I can get that arranged.
I think that would be highly entertaining because to see... it's funny because Brent calls his dad Scott.
Right.
Because they work together, obviously. I would always, and I've talked to several of my friends actually work with their fathers, and that relationship is so weird to me that you have to call your father by your first name. You don't have to, but it just feels weird if you call him dad. But I think, like, I've called my dad Bradley, or his name's Bradley Earl Richardson. I think I've said that one time jokingly, and he kind of snickered a little bit, but, like, I don't make a habit of calling my dad by his first name because I feel like that's a little disrespectful and stuff, unless you're just screwing around. But, yeah, all right, so fishing, golf, all right. Cornhole.
I think I can win two of those three.
Let's do five.
We need
two more. You don't want to play me one-on-one basketball.
I'm not doing basketball, no.
So you got to
just forfeit basketball.
So what should me and Tommy do? 877-377-6963. How else should Tommy and I participate athletic-wise? We've listed golf, we've listed cornhole, and we've listed fishing. I will probably lose two of those right off the bat,
right?
Fishing and the golf aspect. But I can hold my own in cornhole, I just need two more competitions that we would be somewhat on even playing field to move forward. So we'll talk about that a little more coming up on the Morning Rush. Unfortunately, because there's no more high school basketball, we don't get to see some of the state championship games we're talking about, but Max Preps named Monteverde Academy, where Moses Moody plays, as the national champion in basketball. So Moses Moody, incoming Arkansas guy, played on a national championship high school basketball team. Okay. Never lost a game. I want to say they averaged like 18 points differential this season.
And it's the best we can do right now. How do you feel about declared championships right now? How much validation when you just, all right, we're going to name somebody the champion because we couldn't play it out. If you were on that team, I guess it had to be a little bit hollow, right?
I would think so, because now, you didn't get to finish that journey.
This one, they don't have a tournament, and hey, we're going to bring the top 16 teams in the country in here and play it down. It's somewhat of a mythical championship anyway.
Yeah. But they beat, I think Oak Hill was the second best team where KK plays, and they beat them pretty good.
There's no way,
or third, maybe.
I mean, we were talking earlier about Arkansas high school basketball championships. What do you do if you never, and I don't believe they'll ever play these. So who's the state champion in 5A? Is it West Memphis or is it Jacksonville?
If I'm either of those schools, I'm declaring myself the state champion.
Exactly. What do you do?
What are they going to say? What are they going to say?
Triple A just say we don't have a state champion this year?
Got a bunch of responses on the competitions that we should compete in, Tommy. Got a text at the 870 that says skeet shooting contest. I'd probably lose that.
I'd do that.
I want to play pickleball.
Pickleball, that's in, definitely in.
Okay.
Pickleball.
Corin Rogers says Batman.
So we got four now, don't we?
Yeah, we got four. Bradford Mountain Home says bowling and darts. Old people can do that. I'm
like
not
bowling.
Good at darts.
I'm not great at bowling. Terrible. If I break 100, that's a great day. I'm more interested in how many beers we can drink while we're bowling.
NBA 2K, I think I'd have you there.
You'd smoke me there.
Horseshoes is from Eric in Hot Springs.
New Horseshoes.
Text out 47. I haven't played Horseshoes.
I haven't played in years.
Have you ever been to Wild River Country in Little Rock?
On a junior high church trip 30 years ago.
Yeah. That's actually, since you bring that up, I used to go a lot with Fellowship Bible Church.
Yep.
They have horseshoe outside, right outside of the gate. Mm-hmm. So I actually would play that a lot. I played it. What's that? Washers? Do you know what Washers is?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I played that at Drake Smith's house at Pinnacle Telecom. Yeah. I think we played that yet, but I don't think I played like horseshoes, but that's similar type. It's kind of a similar type of game.
How about shuffleboard? Now, I'm talking tabletop, not old man knee-high socks shuffleboard, but.
What's knee-high socks? Oh, the push?
Yeah, like I'm not talking when you got the stick, like, at the vacation resort. I'm talking about go to the bar, get a few beers, and play shuffleboard. Sawdust on the table shuffleboard.
That's one of the games, the more I drink, the better I am.
I think that's true with all of us.
Jordan and Greenwood.
There's a spot just down the street that they have a shuffleboard table, but I guess they're closed right now.
Yeah, I think we could find a way to do that. Have you ever played spike ball? Jeremiah in Fort Smith says spike ball.
I don't know
that's
what that
game.
Is.
I bet Dylan and his friends have played it before. Well, he's like stay indoors with it's like mini trampoline, mm-hmm. and you have the ball that you hit it off. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it. I have several friends, like Tim, our buddy from Bell Point Beveraging, is really good at it, but I'm terrible at it.
So we got fishing, we got bag-o, we got pickleball. What was our other one?
Someone said skeet shooting.
No.
You can trust me with the gun?
No.
it was the one you said. Okay, so we added pickleball.
Right.
Fishing. Play golf.
Golf, that was it, yeah.
So I'm destined to lose at least three or four of those. So I think we're going to have to get to seven so we can even out where there's like three that I'm good
seven.
At.
Seven. Now we're going to seven?
Yeah. Three that I'm good at.
Take a nap.
Rock skipping. That's what Jeremiah says.
We're not doing rock skipping.
Are you good at darts? Are you dart? Are you
a
Mike Neighbors type of good at darts?
I'm not good at most bar games.
I know Phil was beaming for those who don't know, Mike Neighbors, Arkansas women's basketball coach, is a really good bar games guy. And when they go on road trips, they get to play a few bar games. Phil and the other coaches, they participate. And Phil was beaming from ear to ear the day after that he finally beat Mike Neighbors in darts, which was pretty funny. So that's something that seldom happens, apparently, according to Phil Elson, because Mike's pretty good at that stuff.
Kind of like the first time I beat Connor Roman pickleball. It was quite a feat when you finally beat somebody.
Ping pong.
He beat me there, but I'll do ping pong.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Scott Schilling via the Mercury News says it's the Oakland A's that are the worst fans in baseball.
All right, what's the criteria here?
There's a combination of things. So I'll start with mine, and then I'll kind of let you go off that just so you know kind of my diagnosis and how I went about this. Now, I know that many of you will go right to Texas football, Texas basketball, and Texas baseball, as Clay Henry likes to say, which is absolutely fine. That's okay. I divide it up a number of different ways. Texas A&M football fans, because Arkansas has yet to beat the Aggies since 2011, and they will not shut up about it. Kentucky basketball fan, great answer from you, because that's right on the money when it comes to the SEC. Those are some of the worst fans in college sports. Ole Miss baseball fans, and really the Ole Miss baseball team in general, falls in that category. Professionally for me, it's Patriots football fans, it's Laker basketball fans, and it's Yankees baseball fans. If you look at the high school level for me, it's Pulaski Academy Bruins football fans. Those are my level.
What's PA ever done to you? Oh, well, yeah, you were a Little Rock Christian guy.
That was our rival. And I think most of our friends listening in the Greenwood area and the Harrison area, who Harrison was knocked
Harrison's
out by
Harrison's had some trouble with PA over the years.
And Greenwood, man, I'll tell you what, some of the best high school games I have ever seen, 2006, 2007, Greenwood, PA. Greenwood, T-Dub, they beat them twice. 2006, I think they beat them in the state championship. 07 was the semifinal matchup down there in Little Rock at Pulaski Academy, where they stoned PA on a 2-point conversion, if I remember that correctly. So two great games back to back, in which Tyler Wilson's Greenwood Bulldogs came out the victors in both those ones. But I would think that a lot of our listeners, if they had to pick a high school they hate most in the state, PA is probably up there.
It's always the ones that win a lot,
isn't it? Yeah, which is fair. But
it's kind of like why so many people either loved or hate. There was no in between with Dale Earnhardt back in the day in NASCAR.
Because he won a lot.
He won everything. That's why he's the intimidator. So, I mean, that's what comes along. That's why people don't like the Yankees, because they win a lot. It's people that win a lot they don't like, you know?
It's a lot of jealousy that comes out of those teams. And I think, I mean, when the teams I just listed, they win a lot. Outside of Ole Miss baseball, and I say A&M football is also probably in that category. They don't win, but the Lakers, second most in NBA championships, the Patriots, 6 championships under Brady, the Yankees, most World Series, PA Bruins. I don't know how many state championships that Kevin Kelly has won down there, but it's a lot. And they consistently compete for the 5A, 4A, whichever conference they've been in over the years, state championship.
At one time, let's see, 2017 completed 4 straight championships. I think when... Was it John David White was the quarterback? Am I getting the name right?
So John David played wide receiver.
Okay, I'm getting the name right. Who was the quarterback then? Anyway, they completed. When they won, they beat Little Rock McClellan. It was their 4th straight state championship.
Arkansas State kid. Hatcher. Lane Hatcher.
Yep, that's it.
Lane Hatcher. Yeah, who is actually... have you ever been... You don't go down to Little Rock much, but have you ever been to the Bluebird Complex down there? So his father... So there's this like whole Mighty Bluebirds, which is like think of an AAU soccer and AAU wrestling and stuff like that. His dad, I think his dad's name's Greg. He built this massive complex. He has 3 daughters and then Lane.
Okay.
Larkin, Lauren, and Kelsey, I think are his daughters and that. And so they built this massive sports complex at his home, at his property. Mm-hmm. Soccer fields, wrestling mats, football, but since there's nowhere to practice or whatever, I know John David, who's a walk-on of the Arkansas football team, John David White, stud at PA, he actually was practicing at Lane and some other guys at this complex because there's no public places open. But you got to get your work in. These guys don't want to just sit around and wait till the season starts. But, yeah, that was a time where PA was just rolling in. And there's been other, I mean, you think about other schools that have just dominated over the years. Think of why Gus Malzahn was so hated at Shiloh. Because they dominate. And
you mentioned Greenwood. They were in Class 6A as dominant as anybody. There was some good back and forth, but you know, now in the 7A, Bentonville, Fayetteville, North Little Rock's been in that mix. There's been enough parity in the top division of Arkansas high school football where I don't think one school or program has probably got the spotlight on them as much because there has been some back and forth. Bryant's been that team here lately that's been a little more consistent, but there have been 4 or 5 good programs. Bentonville, Fayetteville, Bentonville West has come on strong. Hadn't got to the championship game, but in the 7A, I don't know if there is that one program.
Yeah, and because Buck James and Bryant then won like the last 2. Mm-hmm. Then you had Fayetteville won a couple.
Little Rock's been in the last 3. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's been. I mean, that's what you want parity at the top. So I think that's good. But there's always going to be those bitter rivalries. But again, we're asking the question, 877-377-6963, the worst fans at sport in sports.
So how do we get over there on high school? Oh, yeah, because you were going through the ones you didn't like.
Yeah, professional, college, and high school as well. Gotcha. Which, I mean, they're close to home, so you can touch on that. PA wants to get on the conversation. He's in Texarkana. PA, go ahead.
Moaning, guys. Anyway, what I was calling about was your subject here about worst fans. When I was in high school in Stevens, Arkansas, a little bitty class AA town, we won like five, the girls won six state championships in the 70s, and the boys won four. Girls won three overall state championships. Anyway, let me get to the point here. In high school, the worst fans by far were, have you ever heard of the Strong Bulldogs?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There was a mother of one of the top players on Strong that would always carry a gun to the game. And back in those days, it wasn't like, you know, you could bar. They just allowed her in. And one of the sons got knocked down by our center and caught an elbow, and she came running out on the court with a gun and cleared the whole gymnasium down there Strong. Needless to say, we didn't finish the game, but we were ahead. Also, the second worst, well, I'm not going to go to high school, but I'm going to go to college. And I know this is going to sound gross to you guys, but LSU's the worst. I went down there, carried my family down there back in 1995, or 94, whatever the year is, 94, 95, that we played down there and barely won at the LSU, at the Maryland Assembly Center.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Richard, good morning. Thanks again for making the time for us, buddy.
Hey, guys. Morning.
So you got some news that you could actually write about with Vance Jackson yesterday, man. What do you know about him? I know you got a chance to talk with him a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a fast moving thing with him in Arkansas. He put his name in the portal on Monday. Yesterday, he became a Razorback, and in large part because he already had a relationship with Coach Musselman, because when he transferred from UConn, Coach Musselman reached out to him and recruited him to try to get him to Nevada. So and then obviously at New Mexico, they played against one another. So he was very familiar with the offense and just, you know, the system that Coach Musselman runs. So that really gave Arkansas a big advantage. And I mean, you think about Coach Musselman, what he did at Nevada in the transfer, you know, just as far as transfers, some of those guys that he contacted when he was at Nevada at the time, I'm sure that they're coming back around in the portal again, maybe. And obviously Vance was one of them, and he's 6'9". He told me he was listed at 235 at New Mexico, but he told me he's at 225. And guy that can score inside, outside, rebound, play defense, high energy guy. And so I think obviously it was a good pickup for Arkansas.
Richard, in your recent article, you got this quote from him. He said, "I had a chance to compete with him many times, talking about Nevada and Eric Musselman when I was at New Mexico. I love his style of play and how hard they competed. Also, this is my grad transfer year. This is the last chance for me to prepare for the next level. And I felt like Coach Musselman, the whole Arkansas Razorback staff, would give me the best opportunity to do that." Richard, time and time again, we've talked about how Eric Musselman's background would lead to a lot of recruits, both transfers and high school kids, wanting to come here because of his NBA background. How important was this to get Vance to Arkansas, seeing what he just said to you yesterday?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, he believes that Coach Musk can get him to the league, and let's face it, he's got several guys to the league, and the twins that he had at Nevada, I think they were in the NBA until they shut down, or at least they got a look in the NBA. So I think that helped, knowing that, you know, some bigger guys that he's coached have gone on and been in the NBA. And let's face it, that's what all these guys want to do. They want to go to the next level, and that's what he wants to do. And he thinks that Coach Musk can help him get there.
So you got Vance Jackson at 6'9", Jalen Williams, 6'9", 6'10". You got Connor Vanover, 7'3". You're starting to build a roster of players. Bebe, another. You're starting to build a roster with some guys that are 6'9 and up, right? So can Arkansas, with these players, get the net rebounding to zero? Can Arkansas eliminate the gap on the rebounding deficit? They seem to really, you could tie to a lot of the losses this year, Richard.
You would think so with the added height. I mean, you still have the grad transfer that came in last year that will be eligible. Again, not going to try to even pronounce his name. If you guys want to, go ahead. So they do have 7'3", 6'10", 6'10", 6'9", 6'9", on the roster next year. So if you can't rebound the ball a little bit better with, you know, those guys in the lineup, I'd be very surprised, because you know how disciplined and how well coached the teams are. So you know that they're going to be in position to rebound, but you're not going to have 6'5", 6'6" guys trying to rebound over guys that are 3 to 4 inches taller. You're going to have guys that are actually as tall or taller than what the other guys, other teams have in their lineup.
So, Richard, we've gotten a couple texts here this morning. We're speaking with Richard Davenport on the Morning Rush, talking about and asking the question, when are Moses Moody, K.K. Robinson, and Jalen Williams going to sign? Because I know that Devontae's the only one to sign at this point. When is their signing day coming up, Richard?
Well, it's supposed to be April 15th, but that may be delayed. Nothing's been finalized on that. And here's another thing that you got to consider. Some of these kids, whenever they sign, they usually like to have a signing ceremony. So, you know, obviously, you know, with the restrictions of no more than 10 people right now, would some of them maybe wait and think maybe at the end of April, maybe the restrictions would be lessened where you can have larger crowds and then maybe have a signing ceremony? I don't know. All these guys, they're ready to sign. I think part of that, and I actually asked a family member about that, and everything's up in the air right now because they don't know if they could actually have a signing ceremony or not. Mm-hmm. Obviously, right now, you really couldn't unless it's, you know, you held it down to 10, and obviously they don't want to do that. They would like to have one where they could have more people than that. So as of right now, either the restrictions are going to be in place to at least until the first part of May, and sure, probably maybe even beyond that.
But couldn't these players technically sign the actual forms and send them in, and then you don't make a big make a big public showing of it if you're Arkansas, these players, and then at some point they just sign a blank piece of paper in front of a room of family and friends or whatever. I mean, a lot of them aren't actually signing the actual forms during these ceremonies anyway, so I'm sure Eric Musselman would like to get them on the dotted line, whether you can have 10 or more people together or not.
I'm sure that's going to be the case. But at the same time, you know, the kids usually on signing day send in their signature, and then that afternoon or that later that morning or whatever have a signing ceremony. So I'm sure they're trying to just figure out some way to maximize the day and not trying to lessen it, because of the virus.
Yeah. And so, you just think about, when can these kids actually get to campus? I mean, once they sign, generally they start arriving, you know, early in the summer. You wonder, but with facilities closed, with everything, you know, and you're trying to work kind of 90 days out right now and trying to think about what you can do 60 to 90 days out. You just wonder for all of these sports. It's not just Musselman and the players he's bringing in. It's Sam Pittman and the players that he's trying to welcome in. It's all of the sports. When can they actually bring these guys on campus? And nobody knows the answer.
Well, no. I mean, obviously, you're operating by the fly. I mean, you're just kind of making up things you know, maybe this thing kind of loosens the grip on the nation. But let's face it, I think this fall, I mean, I'd be shocked to see mass crowds being at games. So do you play games without crowds? You still get TV money. I think that's one of the things that I think ADs are going to be looking at, especially for football, because that runs everything as far as the athletic department, as far as money. You're going to get hit, obviously, by probably no crowds or reduced crowds.
Mm-hmm.
So can you still play the games, maybe have all the teams in quarantine? And that's the only way you could do it.
Test them all.
Still get the TV money.
Yeah.
And then how do you do the refs? Because the refs aren't going to be quarantined. Do you have officials officiating based on what they see on TV?
Yeah. You got to test every. They're going to have. They're developing more rapid testing. And the only way I see sports being played is kind of in the scenario, at least at the outset, without a vaccine, without public confidence that it's safe. I do believe there's testing that's right here on our cusp, but they can get a more rapid result. You got to test all these leagues can afford to privately test the players, the refs, the coaches, everybody involved. And I think that's the way it will go, is these players are going to be tested on a 14-day basis. And as long as they're clear, they may let them play.
Guys, I think Abbott Industries is the one that came out with the test that either clears you in 5 minutes or it's like 8 to 13 if you're
on.
I believe that's the correct.
And if you don't clear supplier. The test, you don't play. It's just going to be that simple.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way you're going to be able to do it, Richard. And those will be hundreds of dollars per test, I'm sure. But who can afford that? Well, the NFL... the SEC, the Big Ten. Richard, those are the people that can afford to go that route just to keep, like you said, the TV money coming in.
Exactly. And if they're not able to play football in the fall, let's say colleges, forget NFL, you're already seeing reductions in salaries and budget cuts right now. But if you don't have any kind of money coming in from football, you're going to see drastic cuts to athletic programs, and you're going to see a lot of sports cut at least temporarily for a year until there, like you said, there's a vaccine. This is crazy times.
There would be spring sports permanently eliminated, you know, at least, like you said, for years, because it will take two or three cycles perhaps to catch up, if it ever does catch up. So football pays for everything other than basketball and baseball at Arkansas. So there would have to be cuts just to make – I mean, at the end of the day, you can't have more dollars out than dollars in. And the U of A doesn't – we've always thought it printed money, but they don't technically print money. So there's not a bottom – there is a bottom to this pit of money that we think all these programs have. And right now, ADs are worried about finding that bottom.
Yeah, no. There's no doubt that there's going to be a lot of people impacted, and a lot of kids off scholarship because of this. If this transpires the way we're talking, and if there's no football, period, with devastation for his college athletic programs.
Richard, before we let you go, man, I'll top off the interview with this. So this is from Harrison in Fort Smith. He's talking about the craziest signing day fiasco that he's ever seen was Alex Collins' mom running away with his signing papers. Would you say in your time covering recruiting that's the craziest signing day story you've ever been a part of?
Yeah. Or maybe some of the kids that there was one kid that supposedly was definitely Alex was the craziest, but some kid said he was signing with California or whatever, and California had never even heard of the kid, and he had a signing ceremony. I mean, my gosh, how in the world can you try to think that you could pull something like that off? And but no, Alex, that was he was embarrassed by that, you know, and talking to his high school coach during the whole thing. I mean, he was really embarrassed by that. Thank God his dad stepped up and said, you know, he would sign, and that took care of that.
Richard, real quick, I actually just thought of something else, that signing day story. When DGB, because I heard from multiple people Saturday night when DGB was in Fayetteville that he was going to sign with the Razorbacks, did he tell you or other recruiting people that he was going to sign with Arkansas before he picked Missouri that following Monday?
All I can say is that Arkansas was very, very confident that he was signing with them. That's why I know a lot of people got on me and several other people that cover recruiting. But Arkansas was very confident. Matter of fact, I got a text from somebody saying after he signs, after he announces for us, and it was signing day, that signing day, after he announces for us, you know, that there's going to be a great celebration at the, you know, at the complex or whatever. And obviously that didn't happen. Everybody was stunned when he didn't sign with Arkansas. So everybody in the football program thought he was coming. So that's all I know.
Yeah, Tommy, or Richard told me, excuse me, I got to put my words together right. Richard, Tommy told me that they had it live streamed, and the numbers, as soon as he announced Missouri, they just way down. Like, just immediately. Everyone was just so bummed. But yeah, I was always...
That was when audio streaming was like really coming on in radio, and we were sitting there, and me and Ruskin were watching the numbers. We had like nearly 1,000 people listening online, and at like 9:06 he announces something like that, and at like 9:08 we had 22 people listening.
Yeah, well, I had a story ready to go, and I was about to hit, you know, publish, and boom, you know, obviously I didn't hit publish.
Man, that's something. A wild world of recruiting. He is Richard Davenport. You can hear him every Thursday at about 8 o'clock. Richard, we appreciate the time, and thanks for enlightening us on some funny stories back in the day, man.
All right, guys. Take care. Be safe.
All right, you too. Brought to you by Academy Warrior. I want to push the right button here. Good Lord. Keep your head in the game, Kraft. Brought to you by Academy Warrior. Turn the mics off rather than turn Richard off. Dumb butt. Anyway, we're brought to you by Academy Mortgage. They're in Clinton. They're in Mountain Home. They're in Harrison as well. Matt Fowler's a good dude. He can help you get low interest rates on refinancing your home, purchasing a new home. You know, now's the time. Market's a little shaky, obviously, with everything going on. Now's a great time to be a first-time home buyer. Up to $2,000 in tax credits, down payment assistance, and a whole lot more. 100% financing, rural development, VA, all of it. Low down payment options. VHA loans, conventional loans, they do all kinds of loans. So if you're looking to refinance or to purchase property, now is the time to call Matt and the crew at Academy Mortgage. They have an app where you can do all of this online. You don't have to run in and out of the office a bunch, sign a bunch of forms. Nearly all of it can be done electronically and safely for you and your family. If you need a creative financing option, they have that as well. Matt Fowler, 870-580-5210. That's 870-580-5210 for Academy Mortgage.
You need to, Tommy.
Snap out of it.
You got to snap out of it, man. Yeah. Got to get out of it. So I talked about the teams that I dislike the most professionally and college and high school-wise. Tommy B, we didn't get to yours. Who are the teams that you despise of any of them? I want to hear who. Well, you probably can't say high school because you're a
referee. I don't really have any high school. I mean, really, that doesn't bother me. Oklahoma football fans that always want to remind you of every win they've had, they're about as bad as Alabama football fans used to be. That's one. I mentioned Kentucky basketball fans. I've got stories from the SEC tournament that still just drive me crazy with these obnoxious, out-of-shape Kentucky fans coming in their undersized blue sweatpants, kicking kids out of seats, you know, and empty. It just drives me nuts the way they behave, the way they act in Nashville or back in Atlanta in the day. Just Kentucky basketball fans.
I didn't get a chance to
worst.
Get bailed out by punching a Kentucky fan because the tournament got canceled.
You'd still be in jail.
Oh, well. 877-377-6963. Let's go to Carl Lavaca, who wants to touch on this subject. Carl, who is the worst sports fan in all of sports?
All right, well, I know there's plenty of them. I can't stand Ole Miss, Mississippi State, but mainly, so I got a story about the 2018 Texas A&M game. You know, I already don't like A&M just because, you know, we can't ever seem to beat them, and Christian Kirk gives me nightmares and everything. But anyway, so I'm a pretty pretty, you know, I like to get loud at games and stuff, but I won't ever do anything to, I've never been kicked out of a game before in my entire life. And so I was in the Arkansas student section on the lower bowl right behind the end zone on the aisle seat next to the A&M fans. And, you know, there's some talking going back and forth, and we start to come back or whatever. And I ain't really been saying a whole lot just because I'm stressed and watching the game. Well, the security lady comes down and she tells me, hey, you need to be quiet. I was like, okay, I wasn't saying much, but all right. She comes down a couple more times. She's getting mad at me. So I'm already, you know, pissed off at the game and pissed off at the security woman just singling me out of about 15 people. And then late in the fourth quarter, this middle-aged woman, her and her husband come walking up the aisle. You know, I just think they're another like set of fans walking up the aisle, and they're A&M fans. And this, I haven't seen this woman in my life. I haven't talked to her, said anything to her, anything like that. And she sticks she throws the bird in my face and tells me that I'm from Arkansas. My parents didn't raise me right and all this stuff. And starts like cussing me out. So I said something to her about how she needs to do something about her weight and try Weight Watchers and stuff like that. Dude, I was so, and so then her husband says something too and says like, what'd you say? And I said some choice words to him as well. And so they go up and tell the security lady, and she comes, the same lady who's gone on to me like three times, and she comes down there just raising hell and everything.
Yeah,
and
he had no chance.
And so they either, so while I'm talking to her, I'm trying to, you know, explain myself as if, you know, what, like why I did that, why I reacted that way, and she's not buying it at all. And so that just was making me even more mad. And then I turn around, Ty Story throws the pick to lose the game, and I was about the Bills Mafia table in there in Cowboy Stadium. I was so mad.
That's a good story. Sorry we got to run here, but we're up against the break. But, you know, it's amazing how our emotions, and then you get that fan sitting next to you, Ty, that just wants to turn the knife when your things aren't going well, can send you over the edge.
Well, he mentioned Christian Kirk. You saw the highlight that I put out yesterday.
Yeah.
That's me and my brother, just our heads just drooped. Surrender Cobra when Kirk took it back 99
good,
yards or whatever.
Good call, Carl.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
I want to talk about some of the biggest myths, some of the biggest legends associated with Razorback football, basketball, baseball, just Arkansas itself. And it was really funny yesterday. I think the Arkansas marketing department is just kind of bored right now because they asked fans to tweet them, hey, what pictures, what people do you want on the face of certain portraits, certain history, certain blah, blah, blah. And one of the things they did, Tommy, was Ryan Mallett with the Scantron. Now, I've heard from people that were a little older than me that supposedly were in Ryan Mallett's class that he actually said the words, who's got a Scantron for Ryan Mallett? I don't know if I can actually believe that. I want to believe that. That sounds like Ryan in his older days. He's much more humble than he was back in the day now. Think about being a starting quarterback as good as he was. It would add to the ego. I know it would add to my ego, but that's definitely a, I don't know if you would call it a rumor, a myth, a legend in Razorback history that I wish I was live for to see if it actually happened or not.
Hmm. A memory that you weren't sure, huh? That's what you're searching for?
Yeah, or just like a legend. Like, for example, I've told you, you know what Ben's apartment is, right?
Well, I think the legend and the thing we all want, what's the biggest mystery or secret we want to know the truth to in Razorback sports history? What's the one thing we want to know the facts about that, you know, who killed Kennedy and then this? What is that in Razorback sports? Because to me, it's an obvious answer.
I would say if Pearl Harbor hadn't happened, if Paul Bear Bryant would have actually taken that job. And I know Frank did a tremendous job here at Arkansas, but I think that's something you always wonder about.
I think we all want to know the truth to what happened on the side of that road in Crosses, Arkansas about 8 years ago.
Ding, ding, ding. That's another one I got.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, he's got
Did the swimming coach really beat him up? I don't think so.
Is that who Darrell's boyfriend was at the time.
Like the strength and conditioning coach for the swimming team.
But there's like so many different rumors. Yeah. Like what if he ran him off the road? What if he beat him up and Bobby
Let's just hear the truth.
Because I know several people, including Barrett Salee of CBS Sports, put this out. The bicycle was almost like laid where it was. In a sense, there's just so many weird parts.
It was wrecked. It was definitely wrecked if you saw the pictures of it. But
the how it went off on the side, it was weird. There's so many weird aspects of that story.
But let's face it. If Bobby got backed in a corner, he's not a guy that's going to throw fists. He's all talk, right? He's just barks. All this Montana cowboy.
How tall is he?
BS, he's not going to throw fists.
Is he taller than you?
Yeah, Bobby, hell, everybody's taller than me.
How tall is he? I don't even know.
Bobby, 5'11".
Is it about my size?
6 foot, yeah.
Can I take him?
Maybe a little, yeah.
Are you
he's
sure?
an old man.
I don't know. He can.
I don't know. You're
he's
pretty
got
soft.
Some intensity.
You're pretty soft, though.
Okay.
Maybe not you. Someone more athletic than you, which is most of everybody.
Getting personal, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm decently.
I'm just saying Bobby's all bark.
I could be in better shape. I could be in worse shape. That's how I look at my... My athleticism aspect. Yeah.
Maybe he didn't throw fit. Maybe that's why he looked the way he did. That's the thing we want to know the truth about more than anything. We just spent yesterday talking about it.
I want to know if Norm Stewart actually said to Nolan Richardson, either your team is really good or my team ain't worth the bleep. I want to know
if that actually happened, yeah.
So Robert has told some great stories on this show from Stadium Shop. He's talked about the carrot top thing with Frank Broyles, mm-hmm. how it was like, obscene, which is pretty cool. He also told that story where Frank had... Every single his secretary was out one day, and so he had every single phone call that went to his office directed to his cell phone.
Yeah, forwarded. Yeah,
when he was on the golf course, I thought that was fantastic. Those seem pretty real to me. As far outside of Arkansas sports, I've seen the inside of it, but I want to go to Ben's apartment, the secret bar in Dixon. Like you have to be a member of it, and it's behind this. The entrance to it is in Cannibal and Kraft behind the cigar machine or whatever. Like I've seen inside it. My brother's been, but I've never been with a member to actually go in there where Bielema and some other highfalutins have actually drank before.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, I want to get...
Rare air.
Yeah. I've not been a part of that crowd before, unfortunately.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer. 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.